Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the track, and everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. Well, it's just a coffee house and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee taste.
Now, it was much more than a coffee house. This is Tom Hayes with Blog Talk Radio. And we have a great show today, another show about the Sugar Shack. Rudy Guarino, I see you there. There you are. Okay, I see you there. Let me see. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, goodbye. And I'm a little disappointed that Eddie Levesque, that's twice he told me he was going to do the show, and I guess he can't get up in the morning for it.
What's he living in L.A., is he?
I'm going to have to work on some other clients.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I said to Billy Porter yesterday, last week, that we should book two of the stars in case we have this problem where one doesn't show up. And even if both show up, they can play off each other.
Right, right. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. That's what we'll do. I'm going to work on a couple next week. That's a great idea. We'll do two of them. And one doesn't show, then at least we got one. If two don't show, then shut up.
Good thing they didn't pull this at the club, Rudy. Hey, okay, here we go. We got some fun happening here. This might be Billy. This is Tom Hayes on Blog Talk Radio, The Sugar Shack with Rudy Guarino. Who we got?
Haji Akbar.
Is Haji?
Yes.
Hey, Haji, how are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Okay, Rudy, do you remember Haji? He played you played trumpet, right, Haji?
Yeah, I'm the last living Esquire. Get on up, get away. You got the power, girls in the city. That was the first time I ever entered the doors of the Sugar Shack.
That's right, and you played for Billy Womack, is that right?
Bobby Womack, yeah.
Lil
Milton Campbell, James Brown.
Yeah. Well, we're honored to have you here. Rudy, you remember Haji?
Well, if he's one of the band members, might be hot to replace him.
We're talking about the 60s.
Because they all came self-contained.
Yeah, Gilbert's my brother. Gilbert Moore.
Did you work with James Brown?
Yes, from 1984 to 1988. I produced the JBs, too, when James Brown went to jail. That was who created the resurgence of Mateo Parker, Petey Ellis, Fred Wesley, and myself, we're the JB All-Stars.
Wow.
Well, that's great. You got some stories of memories, great
yes,
Sugar
Shack. Yes, sir, I sure do. Yes, sir.
Haji, why don't you share a story with us? Tell us something you remember about the Sugar Shack.
Well, we're talking about, 40 years ago? Let me see. That was so bad.
Well, you know, one of the things we always talk about on the show, Haji, how beautiful the women were. You got to have a story about a woman.
Yeah, there's one Portuguese woman. Well, I went back there looking for her because we had gotten pretty close. I never could find her. But those days, you know, with the Esquires, I was part of the band. You know, we were all family, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Haji, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on my earphones.
Oh, okay, then good. You sound much better right now. If you speak closer to the speaker, we'll be able to hear you a little better.
Yeah. Is this better?
Yeah, I got that's better.
Yeah. You know, those guys, they showed me the ropes and the show business thing, you know.
All right, why don't you tell us something about traveling with James Brown that you remember?
Oh, traveling with James Brown, I remember the video Living in America playing at Radio City Music Hall. I don't know. I'm not sure if James Brown did the Sugar Shack in the 80s. I know we came to Boston a lot, but I don't remember if it was the Sugar Shack. I know we did Brown University, but with James Brown, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, that was in the 70s that James Brown was at the Sugar Shack.
Oh, okay, that was before my time. That trumpet player was more
right.
Likely Waymon Reed.
Right, right. So what was it like to work for James?
Oh, man, the University of James Brown, baby, show business. You did from A to Z. how to develop your own, how to be your own CEO.
Is that right?
Yes. It was a university, man. I mean, it's stuff that you couldn't get in the proper universities. But this guy would issue it out, you know, and if you were listening, you'd pick up on it. Me, I was listening.
So he was a tough boss, yeah? He was hard?
No, he's not hard. If he was taking care of business, you know, he respected business people who perform, you know? He respected
yeah.
that, you know? And he rewarded us for that kind of persona, you know?
Great. So how many times do you think you played at the Sugar Shack?
With the Esquires, about 3 or 4 times. Let's see, we did Get On Up, hit Went Gold. Before it Went Gold, after it Went Gold, and then the new EP, Girls in the City, You Got the Power. We came back again because those songs became hits too, right?
That's right.
Well,
everybody that we talked to about the Sugar Shack tells us how they remember how beautiful the club was, what the atmosphere was like. Do you remember meeting Rudy?
Yes, man, but I remember I was a teenager. I was like 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that must have been... Now, compare that to other clubs you played.
Oh, man. There's only one other club that had the persona that treated us like that, like royalty. That was the Sing Supper Club in Milwaukee with Georgie Bell and Frank Ballesteros. They were also patron saints of the arts. That's the only other place. Oh, I take that back. Caesars. We played Caesars a whole lot.
So we all, you know, we didn't have to go to other clubs to know that was the best soul club in the world.
No, not when you come to Boston, then. When you come to Boston, that was the place. That was the place to be. That was the place to go. That was the place to be.
So the headliners, they wanted to play that club, right?
Yes.
So tell us what was different about playing. Was the crowd? Was it the crowd? Was it the way that the management? Was it the layout of the club? What was what kind of feeling did you get there?
Hey, man, the Italian people, to us, they were like patron saints of the art. They have preserved our heritage, man. You know, even though they were going through a lot of stuff, you know, they stuck with it, man. They stuck with his art, man. Of course, it made everybody money, but you know, they had our backs, man. They had our backs, man.
You gave it your best there.
Yeah, we gave it our best, man.
Yeah, well, certainly the crowd always demanded the best, and they appreciated. I mean. you know, I'm an entertainer myself, and I know when the crowd's hot, we're hot.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's inspirational, man. It's really inspirational, man.
You know,
great fun. You know, because you know, they protected, they kept us a lot from away from a lot of the scenes, you know, because we were young. You know, we were under 21 years, and you know, we couldn't stray that far from them. You know?
Yeah, right. That's great. So do you feel like, you know, after playing a club like that, it gave you, you know, a little more experience and a little more confidence when you moved forward with your career?
A lot more experience, man. A lot more confidence, man. You know, I mean, without that kind of experience, I'd just be another local, you know. You know, I would probably be doing something else by now, you know. You know what I'm saying? Other than music, I'll probably be doing something else other than music, you know. Because, I mean, those guys, they're pictures and they're spiders, man. You know, they gave us the encouraging words that we need, to create, sound. You know what I'm saying? New sound.
Oh yeah. Well, that was the amazing thing, Rudy. The acoustics in there were phenomenal, and we never talked about that yet on the show. Did you do anything special to make those kind of acoustics?
Guy Jeff Whalen that rigged up everything. He used to be the sound guy there, and the lightman. He put whatever we needed in to make it great.
It was the intimacy of that club. I mean, it was just so close to the stage. The way you laid it out, you know, it wasn't a deep room. It was a wide room.
Right. It was long. We centered the stage right in the middle there.
Brilliant. I mean, that was, I think, the most brilliant part of the thing is that, what do you think, there was maybe not more than 30 feet from any fan to you know, in the middle part there, 30 feet from any fan to the entertainers.
Yeah, there. Everybody was on top of one another, and we never had a problem.
I know it. And I think that's what, you know, that's what did it, you know, was being so close to everybody.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Haji. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, Bobby.
Right off the stage.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you know, and wait a minute, here we go. I think we got, I think Billy's finally joining us with Jerry. Billy, is this you?
Yeah, hey, Tom, I'm sitting here with legendary nightclub mover Jerry Maffeo, and we also have another guy, Bobby Barnett, who's come out and hang out at the Sugar Shack. Eddie B. Now, I'm going to introduce these guys and let them go at it. They're sitting here. We're sitting in the north end in front of the Golf Club Association, but I don't see no fucking golf club here. I don't see no golf course. Jesus Christ. So, tell us some of your stories, guys. What do we got here?
Go ahead, Jerry. You go. I was just telling them about Fort's community. Brought him downstairs. He was one of our regular customers. So I says to him, how you doing, Fort? He has a beautiful white suit on. He says, Jerry, I want you to meet my son, Pete.
Can you hear Jerry?
Say it again for us, Billy. You want to meet his friend who?
Pete. And he says, his name was Fort's, his nickname. So he introduced me to his son. His son's name was Pete.
So there was Fort's and Pete. I wonder if he had two left feet.
Naming your kid Pete after his son.
Unbelievable. What do you got, Joe? What do you got?
Well, I just want to say, hello to everybody listening to the show. I got educated in the Sugar Shack. If it was open 3,000 nights at the time it ran, I was there 2,600 nights of it. I was there almost every night. I saw every group that ever played there. many, many times. I got educated there. I became quite an avid collector of records, and I sell records, and I've been a DJ for years in Boston. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I still DJ now and then. I remember Rudy quite well, and I got to know quite a few of the singers in the groups. Matter of fact, I just got in touch with one of the guys from a group out of Philadelphia called The Intrigue, and they're doing a show down in Philly, August 8th, and I'll probably go. But the Sugar Shack was a one of a kind. It'll never happen again. Easily the greatest club ever in the history of Boston.
Amazing.
Nobody could touch the acts we had. And I say we, even though I didn't work there, I consider myself part of the family.
Well, you were there every night.
I was there every night. Rudy Brother Sticker,
it was
Jerry, Carlo, Jimmy Lawrence, Rudy, they all treated me great. And Jerry's still a good friend. I
imagine that 50 years later, almost 50 years, these guys are still hanging around together. Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Talk about solidarity.
Loved it.
Wow.
Loved it.
You know, I think you bring up a great point is that, you know, even though I never, I think I might have talked to Rudy once or twice, you know, going back and forth or whatever, and just said hello, but you felt like family there. You there was an ownership that you belonged, as opposed to just being somebody who bought a ticket and had a show and then took off. You got to be familiar. I'll never forget coming down one night, and we had been there like four nights in a row, and the doorman said to me, he said, "Hey, where are you from?" And I could tell, I mean, being in Boston all my life, I could tell that he was from Medford. I just knew. I just knew by his stand, and I said, "I'm from Medford." I lied. And he said, "Where?" And I had to make, I said, I think I said Main Street or something. And he said, "That's it." He says, "You don't pay anymore." And I never paid. Rudy, you can fire him now, but he let me in after that.
We always treated our guests with royalty. I mean, if they were regulars, they used to push them in all the time. We had a fellow named that I was friends for years, Bobby Glenn. He used to the door, and they let everybody in that they thought were regulars, you know.
Yeah, and we only got a great seat too. You know, those reserves. It said reserved, but it was reserved for the regulars.
Yeah,
there were no bad seats in the Sugar Shack.
Exactly.
Up front, right in your face. Now you don't get that anymore. You don't get that anymore.
That's gone.
It's unheard of. It's only 30,000 plus stadiums, and to see that up front is just, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Remember one time, I'm from Charlestown, which is part of Boston, and Charlestown is pretty white, and the Sugar Shack was pretty black as far as the crowd went. So I remember one time, well, possibly one of the greatest singing groups of all time was there, the Dells.
Ooh, yeah. Sticker
was downstairs at the bottom of the stairs, and I told a whole bunch of my friends from Charlestown, "We're going to see and listen to the Dells." Meanwhile, I was always in the Shack. Well, about 20 white guys started walking down the stairs, and we took a quick left to go in, and Jerry yelled out, "Who the hell are all these guys? Who are all these white guys coming here?" And he said, "Shut the hell up. They're all friends of Eddie B's." And I mean, they had a ball, and that was probably the only time most of them guys ever went to the Shack. And every once in a while, someone will still say to me, "Eddie B, remember the night you took us into the Shack and we saw that group, the Dells?"
Amazing.
I bet you like we remember. We don't forget stuff like that.
Amazing, amazing. Beautiful.
It was tremendous. It really was. The place was just in a league of its own.
In a league of its own.
It was.
You couldn't touch it, huh?
I mean, no, it really.
Wow.
You know, they didn't just have
my daughter. That's my daughter. Open the window.
It's your daughter?
Oh, yeah. Right there. Nicole.
Yeah, go ahead.
They
didn't just have
and Eddie. We're on the radio.
They didn't just have
on a radio show from the Sugar Shack.
The stylistics,
the
impressions, the OJs, the Manhattans, the big names. They had a lot of groups down there that may have only come one or two times, such as the Intrigues and the Intruders and the Jones.
Staple Singers
were there. The group thing was my thing, so I kind of remember that quite well. I remember seeing possibly like the second or third best group I ever saw in my life for choreography was a group out of Washington called the Unifics.
They were tremendous.
Yeah, they were. I mean, the Court of Love they sang, and they were great.
Amazing. You can actually go to the Facebook page with anybody who's listening. We have a lot of the old pictures up there. I found a picture yesterday of Rudy and Jerry in the office, and it looked like they were conducting business, and Jerry standing there so cool, nonchalant, with his tie and shirt open. I think Jerry was a dancer back in the days, you know?
It's funny you said that. There was actually a picture hanging up in Rudy's office of Jerry on the dance floor, and it was a little arrow pointing to Jerry saying, "No dancing allowed."
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. You can see the pictures on Sugar Shack Radio, the Facebook page. Go by and check it out.
I gotta jump in here.
This is Tom Hayes. It was so great in there. I used to go in there with my fiance, and then she became my wife. And the camaraderie was so tight, so beautiful, and especially if people had seen you from week to week. And, you know, we'd rap with, you know, I mean, with the everybody in there. And one night, a bunch of the gals looked over, and they recognized us, and they said, they just asked my girlfriend, wife, you know, "We're going to take your man, and we're going to teach him how to dance." And about four of them brought me up, and they taught me to dance. They taught me all the moves. And it was just so refreshing. Now, fast forward to, I got a couple of kids. We go to the South Shore Music Circus to see the Four Tops and the Temptations. I'm about three rows back, and this is an experience so that we're going to show our kids what we've been talking about for all these years, the experience of the Sugar Shack, to see the Four Tops and the Temptations. Well, they come into the audience, they're looking for somebody to dance, and one of the Four Tops came down and grabbed me out of the audience, and the entire audience froze because they saw this guy with a wooden leg headed for the stage, a white man. I was going to be the only white man on the stage with, what, 10 black guys, professionals, and I did all the moves I learned at the Sugar Shack. And the place went crazy. 2,000 people looking at this white man dancing like a black man.
What do you know, man?
And the irony was, I didn't know it, my wooden leg was on the microphone cord. And what was his name? Otis, the lead singer of the Four Tops couldn't move.
Levi Stubbs.
Yeah, see, Levi. That's right, Levi. Yeah. Levi couldn't move the microphone because I was standing on it and didn't know it. And when I started to make the moves, the temps were like, you know, on the other side of the stage. They ran over, tapped the temps on the shoulder and pointed to me the way I was dancing.
You were there?
I was there.
You're kidding.
I've seen The Temptations live 106 times.
Wow. Unbelievable.
106.
Amazing. You know, you talk about camaraderie. I worked with Jerry in the nightclub business for about 10 years, and that's just the way he ran a club. You were a family. We were all tight, all the doormen, and that's still to this day. Jerry, he holds you close to his heart, for sure. Yeah.
So, Eddie, you actually saw that happen with me on the stage?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Amazing.
First time I ever saw the temps was at Brandeis University, April of 1965. And the last time I saw them, they were in town last October. Now, there's only one original member left. But if you've never seen the temps, you should still go and see them because they're still great. They still sound fantastic.
Wow.
Yep. Wow, that's amazing.
Great story.
Jerry, just a couple of weeks ago, I told him that we never ever saw trouble in the Sugar Shack except one night.
Never.
And Jerry, I said, I never saw two guys removed from an audience so fast. And Jerry, remember you told me that you were pissed because one of the guys got blood on your brand new white silk coat.
$200 white coat. That's a true story.
That's amazing that you mentioned trouble.
Picked him right out of the wheelchair and everything, huh?
One time and only one time I ever had a little bit of a problem. I was leaving the club one night just to go grab a coffee for some guys or whatever, and you had to go up the stairs and then walk a little corridor to get to the street. So as I was walking a little corridor, this big guy, he really bumped into me. But me being the kind of guy that I am, I said, "Excuse me." And he said, "What the hell do you mean, excuse me, Whitey?" And I turned around, and I pointed my finger, and I said, "You know what? If we both end up downstairs, you're the one that's going to be dead, not me." He turned around. He went downstairs. I went and got the coffee. He came back. I never seen him again. But I told him, I said, "If we end up downstairs, the both of us, you're the one that's going to be dead."
He wasn't coming back up. That's probably why he took off.
That was the only time I ever had a problem in my entire life.
Oh, 10 years, huh? You go ahead, Jerry.
I have to say something.
Can you hear Jerry?
Yeah, I got him. Go ahead, Jerry.
There was 7 white people. Rudy, Gigolo, me, Bobby Glenn, Carlo, Jimmy Lawrence,
and Sticker.
There was Sticker. There was 600, 700 black people in the place.
No matter.
They respected us like we were gods. And we gave them the same respect back.
Respect back. Good.
That's right. Good.
That's
about
why they loved us.
Harmony. There was a lot of harmony in the Sugar Shack.
You know, that was the part, Rudy and Jerry, I got to tell you, that was the part that never ceased to amaze me. Every time I got in there, again, you're just talking the numbers, 500, 600, 700 black people, seven guys running the place, maybe 20, 30 other white fans in the audience, and then
that's
never. Yeah, I know. Exactly. It was maybe 10 of us. 10 of us. And we never, ever felt threatened.
No, wow. Never.
The white shadows.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I used to bring Gates in every once in a while. I bring a friend of mine in every once in a while. I said, "You will never have a problem in here."
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
We never did.
That's
my buddies that went with me, they loved it.
Everybody just wanted to have a good time.
Yeah. And
right.
That's what it was.
Well, and I think, too, Eddie, that when they were amazed, they had never been in a situation like that where they were, outnumbered. They were the minority. They were in a club that was a different culture. That's what, you know, Rudy and Jerry, what you created was a culture, man. That was a phenomenon. That was because of you and because of the audience and because of the groups. It was a culture and a feeling that you couldn't get anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. I mean, look at, we're still talking about it today.
Yeah, 50 years
40
later.
40 years, 45, 50 years later.
See, 50 years, 2016, right? 50 years?
Yeah.
Would it close?
50
years. 50
years,
wow.
1967, Jerry said, Altman.
Wow.
I think the very first time I had gone, I think was like late 69 or maybe mid 69. First group I ever saw was the 5 Stair Steps. But I knew who they were from Chicago. I had known about them.
You want to know something? They had that little kid.
Juby.
All right.
Yeah.
I always thought that was the Jackson 5.
Yeah, well, if you want, you're not the only one, Jerry. Other people did, too.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Yeah, really. But Rudy told me, no, they were the 5 Stair Steps.
Two of the guys in that group are still in the record business. They're promo guys.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. One for sure.
Now, what was the? I remember the group's name. What was this song?
Ooh Child.
Yes, Ooh Child. Things are going to get better.
Yeah, big hit for them.
Where's Rudy? Rudy still with us?
Yeah.
I'm being entertained today.
There you go.
Hey, Rudy, seriously, doesn't it, you know, what I'm loving about these little shows we're having here is I feel like I'm back in the place. I just feel
back
like
in the
it's
Sugar Shack.
It brings me back to a lot of memories, believe me what I'm telling. Brings back a lot of memories, Jerry.
Sure does, Rudy.
It's good to hear your voice, Rudy.
Yeah, we just had a thing on my Facebook. Jay Harvey, who used to hang around he used to hang around the club, and he posted something saying that Ray Charles was there, he MC'd the show, which he did, and he also played chess with Ray Charles, and Ray Charles told him, "Let's put the lights out and we'll make the game even."
And I played him two games, and he beat me both games.
Yeah, Jerry played him twice. He beat Jerry both times.
And we took him down to Florida.
On the Facebook the other day, Jay Harvey, an old friend of the great Sugar.
Rudy, Jay Leno was our DJ for about a year when he was in Emerson.
Imagine that, Jay Leno was the DJ there.
The only guys he remembered was me, you, and Gigolo, and me because I bought him Hot Fudge Sundays.
Yeah, producers on the corner, right? Wow. Imagine that, Jay Leno was the DJ.
They were.
Wow.
Here's $2. You'll get one for you, one for me.
Wow, look where he is today.
He remembers.
Jay Leno.
Amazing. Started
but
at the Sugar Shack.
And he mentioned it. He was at the, wow. he was at the 25th anniversary of Cheers, and he asked friends of mine, the kid that owns the movie theater, he says, is Jerry Maffeo and Gigi Olin Rudy still around?
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
well,
so
even
cool.
To this day, when I go see a live group, they always, you know, in Boston, that is, they always mention the Sugar Shack.
Right.
They'll always say, this is for everybody that remembers the Sugar Shack. You might remember the song. Every group, it doesn't matter who I see, they mention the Shack. The place was legendary.
Yeah, George Clinton does the same thing. When he does the show, he says, I got my start at the Sugar Shack.
Really? He did.
Yeah. Amazing.
And he went out. Rudy threw him on.
Rudy threw him
in there. So we put him in the back room in the cave, and the people, there was Lou Rawls there.
Yeah.
And the people would come down and pay for Lou Rawls to go see him.
Wow,
go
amazing.
Right
wow, yeah.
And they went to see him. He was nuts.
Wow,
He wore a Pampers.
Yeah, that was that. Bootsy Collins, he wore the Pampers.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing artist.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a great bass voice, too.
Yeah.
Guy named Grady. Real deep. He was really good. They had a big, big hit in 67, a song called I Want to Testify. That was a big hit for them.
Wow.
There's another guy I caught. I forgot his name. He had a big, big style, big fat guy. I forgot his name.
Hey, you know who we didn't
Barry White?
Barry White. Rudy on the Tuesday told me to give Cuss him on, give him the money, let him go home. We don't want this guy. He stinks, you know. Guy wound up one of the biggest stars.
Right. One of the biggest stars. Imagine that. You throw him out. Oh, Jesus. Did he ever come back again? Did he ever come back again?
He actually did come back again.
He did.
He played. He was the piano player for Love Unlimited,
wow.
A three girl group.
Wow.
Had a big song called "Walking in the Rain with the One I Love."
Wow.
Yeah.
That, I remember that.
Wow. Wow. So cool.
So Eddie, what of you know? You mentioned the Dells. I mean, and Rudy says it every week. He says there never was a bad act, and it was absolutely true. And it's
never.
Hard.
Never.
Each of them had. A feeling.
Exactly.
So, does any one group stand out above the rest? Do you feel like Rudy?
Well,
I
mean, you know, if you want to just talk about straight out 4 and 5 part vocal harmony, you can't touch the Dells. They're one of the greatest singing groups of all time. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of great groups. There's still groups around that sing well. You know, Blue Magic is still together for the most part, and they're excellent.
Right.
But the Dells, they had it all. You had that false tenor lead with Johnny Carter. You had the bassman with Chuck Boxdale. You had Marvin singing lead with that. I like when people listen to Teddy Pendergrass. I always feel sorry for the people that never listen to Marvin because that was Teddy's idol.
Wow.
You know,
at least think about it.
I got to tell you, you're absolutely right. Of all of the groups, and each one of them was spectacular. The thing that there was two things I couldn't forget. Eddie LaVert coming up, leaving the stage. Remember he used to do that, leave the stage and sing I'm Missing You a cappella?
Great song.
Wow.
And he would be sweating like you can't believe. And he'd just, the whole place would be quiet. And the women would be screaming like they were having orgasms with him singing, I miss you more than every day. I miss you more and more in every way. I'm missing you. And, I mean, he felt it. But that, remember when the Dells.
He's still great.
Oh, he's unbelievable. You remember when the Dells used to do Stay in My Corner?
Yeah.
I wish I had a penny every time I heard him sing it.
Right.
I'd be rich.
I know. and that when they would, what were you saying? Who was the bass singer's name? You just said it.
Chuck Barksdale.
He would do that. He would just hold that note.
Yeah.
And then it would hold it for what felt like 2 minutes. And it all go, and the place would go crazy.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Of all of the groups and all of the things we saw, that to me, Eddie Levert going around doing that and the Dells singing Stay in My Corner with that last little part were the most dynamic things I remember.
They would hold that note, even on the recording, because I timed that years ago. They held that note for 23 seconds.
Yep.
Okay. And when they re-recorded it in 1980, he held it for 32 seconds.
Unbelievable.
Tom, it's now, I'm looking at the artist list that we had here. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It
is. Sly and the Family Stone.
Sly and the Family Stone.
That's
my God.
Wow.
That's why, to me, there'll never be another club like the Shack because the entertainment week after week after week was unbelievable.
Sunday night because we didn't know who was going to come.
I just saw Tavares maybe 2 months ago down in New Bedford. They mentioned the Shack right away, and they started out as Chubby and the Turnpike. I want to tell you, they're still great.
Yeah.
They are excellent. Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, Vicky Verano that owns all the Strakers, he has them in his body on 4th of July.
Oh, this year?
2 years in a row he had them.
Okay.
Wow.
And he had some of the guys from...
He had the Intruders.
Little Lover and the Blue Notes.
Yeah, they had the Intruders maybe 7, 8 years ago, Jerry. They had the Intruders. Yeah. When Frankie Pizzarelli still owned it, he had the Intruders.
That's right.
Because they called me up. Frankie called me up and invited me down to have dinner with them. I couldn't make dinner, but I went and saw the show, naturally.
Amazing.
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, for me, for someone like me who's really into the music, and again, I mentioned it before, I still sell records and buy records, always listening to the music. It was really, really a major thing in my life because I got educated from it.
That's cool. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, you know, and I told Rudy a couple of weeks ago that one of the things I enjoyed the most was when the bands came out and warmed up. You never heard jazz in R&B like you heard from those cats when they were warming up.
That's right. All them bands were tight, every one of them.
Wow.
Joe Tex, his band was unbelievable. My God, could they play?
Wow.
And they'd all the bands would do maybe a couple of three songs before the groups came.
What about Curtis Mayfield when he came
Curtis
in?
Curtis Mayfield.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Curtis Mayfield when he came in with the, what were their names?
The Impression.
The Impressions.
Yeah. Frank Cash
unbelievable.
And Sam Gooden.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, okay, Eddie, if you were there, you were there all those times, and I was there,
yeah.
I almost lived there, one night, you'll remember this. One night, the Dells were on, and there was a cat who hung around. I don't know if he was part of the Lords or what, but he always hung around. He had the most incredible alto voice. And every once in a while, one of the groups would hand him the microphone, and he would wail a little bit. One night, the Dells, during that Stay in My Corner, they handed him the microphone, and this kid took off, and they came out. And they grabbed the microphone from him and said, "That's
you
enough of that."
If it wasn't one of the guys from the Nine Lords, it might have been one of the guys from the Indigos, which was a Boston group that had a hit called Far, Far Away, around here anyways. That guy could really sing, too, and he could fight. But there's been more good singers in Boston that people realize.
Yeah.
You know, but if you didn't go to the Shack, you weren't going to hear them.
Wow.
But, right.
There was a few places up in Roxbury, Dorchester. The Carnival Lounge was one. I went a few times. There was another club over near Berklee School of Music called 007 and 3 Quarters. It was short-lived. I don't even think it was open for 4 months. But I saw a great group out of Philly there called the Ambassadors. But the Shack was the place. There was no other place.
There was no other place.
You know? There was no other place.
I mean, we couldn't even... I'm going to tell you something. There had to be 1,000 different groups while we were there.
Wow.
Yeah, Jerry.
I mean, we were there 11 years.
Yeah, right. And seven nights a week.
And seven nights a week.
Not three or four nights a week. Seven nights a week.
And we used to do a Sunday matinee.
Mm. For the kids, that's right.
Two shows a night, a matinee. Today, you can't even get one show out of them.
Yeah.
You can't get 30 minutes out of them.
Yeah, they're getting $200, $300, $400 a whack, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
$2
yeah,
to get in and a dollar.
Coke. Yeah, right.
Now $2 for a Coke.
$1
The guys you just mentioned that were there all, every time that Rudy managed, was a buck to get in.
A dollar to get in.
Their names, the kids, the five guys.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute.
You just mentioned they gave the mic. What's his name?
No, not the Indigos. That was only...
Not the Indigos, the other guys, not him. The ones that they took the mic away from.
The Lords?
The Lords.
Yeah, they're actually... They were actually called the Nine Lords.
The Nine Lords.
Nine Lords.
But when they recorded the Stax, they did a record, and they were called the Lords.
Right. Rudy sent them to California, I remember. They worked there. Then Rudy also managed the Platters.
Platters.
Yeah. And we became real close.
Wow.
I mean, he would... Anytime I wanted to see him... The great Maffeo's out there. You know, he could always, with that low, low voice.
Why I always referred to him was the legendary Jerry Maffeo.
The legendary. Right. He's still legendary. Everybody in the city of Boston, a nice
movie.
Right? Everybody knows Jerry. A great guy, a long time friend of mine. And, amazing to be sitting here with these guys, you know?
Eddie, I want to ask you one of the most memorable things and the funniest things. I mean, you know, Billy's doing a play, and I tell him he's got to somehow have the stall in the bathroom. That was always a riot. To walk in, there was one stall, the rest were urinals, and one stall, and there was 10 feet under the stall. And it looked like you were having a barbecue in there.
10 feet and a puff of smoke.
The whole men's room didn't hold 8 people.
Yeah, it looked like a barbecue
outside.
With all the reefer smoke coming out of
it. Yep.
Wow.
Really?
That's funny.
That's the truth. But you know something? That was like probably the only bad thing down in there.
Like,
was some reefer.
Yeah, it was common. I mean, look at it today. It's almost legal in every state.
Yeah,
you know?
But today, you can buy it today.
Yeah, the dispensary.
George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic used to come on stage with a joint roll that was a foot long.
Oh, right.
And they'd come on and Rudy would go crazy. Get them on. Don't let them do that. They'd be yelling out. Don't let them smoke that.
He's sober now, I think, though.
Yeah,
he's sober and doing well. And I'd love for him to call him. We had to reach out to him.
Yeah, George. What a character.
He loved Rudy, too.
Yes.
He really did.
They loved everybody that came to the Shack loved the Shack.
You know something? When they weren't working, it was a line. Rudy, please, Rudy, I need 300. I need 500. He never said no to anybody.
He didn't. Rudy
never.
Rudy didn't.
He really never didn't. Said no to anybody.
Hey, guys, they're going to shut us off in a few seconds here. This is just so much fun. I don't know if I'm hoping Haji. Haji, are you still there, Haji?
Yes, I'm still here. How can I not be?
Okay, well, we want to thank you for calling in.
Hey, man.
And sharing your memories.
I wouldn't miss this for the world, I tell you right now. Hey, Rudy. Rudy, Jerry, God bless you guys, man. I mean, I wouldn't have seen the world without you guys inspiring us, you know, and protecting us from those outside elements, you know, that we had so much fear of. You know what I'm saying? I mean, man.
Well, thank you, everybody on the show.
I always love you guys, man.
Yeah.
And
you can get on HajiAkbar.com to get his music. HajiAkbar.com.